The modern American diet, with its on-the-shelf processed foods in grocery stores and Big Macs and tacos at drive-thrus, has sparked supersized health problems. That's especially true among Native American populations, where data show higher rates of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease than the general population. And diet is a major factor. So there's been a push among tribes to promote traditional indigenous foods, as well as an effort to instill cultural identity among members. But as Brian Ball from member station KLCC in Eugene, Oregon reports, the effort has its challenges.
It's a cool, overcast morning in Siletz, Oregon. 72-year-old Lizzie John is checking on her plants at the Healthy Traditions Garden. She sprinkles fungicide on some, then spots a bug eating leaves.
Oh, there's one over here, too, on my pepper.
Oh, yeah, he's nibbling good. I better put some on everything. Just to be safe.
Bugs aside, John is happy with her sprouting peppers, carrots, corn, and tomatoes. She's less keen on processed foods, which she fears can harm her community's health.
I've always cooked from scratch most of my life. I've even gotten my daughter out of processed foods by doing this. You know, she loves the corn, the squash, and the tomatoes. Can't wait for the tomatoes. Processed foods and stuff, you never know what they put in it.
Joining John is Kathy Kenta Robinson, coordinator for the Siletz Tribe's Healthy Traditions Program. Launched a decade ago with a $100,000 grant from the Center for Disease Control, its mission is to educate tribal members about nutrition. In another part of the garden, Kenta Robinson shows me plants historically important to regional natives, including camas, biscuit root, and more.
This is called soap root. These were from the Umpqua Forest. So this is an important plant species that we're trying to get started again onto tribal land properties. So we're doing what we can to propagate or gather seed and get starts from either Forest Service or BLM botanists.
Kenta Robinson stresses that besides collaboration with state and federal agencies to access these plants, many of the Siletz Tribe's programs involve travel. That means visiting valley floors for camas, mountains for huckleberries, waterways for fish. Even then, there are regulations outlined under treaties or consent decrees.
We are allowed to issue 200 fishing tags to tribal members, which we have around 5,000 on the roll. And we are allowed, through the Natural Resources Department, a 60-day time limit for tribal members to be able to go fish only on three different sites along the creek feeding into the main stem of the Siletz River. We are not allowed to fish on the river or the ocean.
And some traditional food sources are now illegal to gather, says Robert Kenta, Cultural Resources Director for the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians. Seals, sea lions, and whales are off limits, including ones that wash up on the beach.
They dig a big trench with a cat and roll the body in there, and then they try to burn it. And there's been times in the past where they stuck dynamite sticks in there and blew them up. And instead of it being treated as a valuable resource, it's been treated as a hazard.
How are these state and federal policies impacting the access of these traditional foods?
Nora Frank is a Nez Perce tribal member who's with the Northwest Tribal Food Sovereignty Coalition. She and Buck Jones of the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission are helping Native communities in Oregon, Idaho, and Washington develop ways to protect and promote their resources.
You know, we're looking at not only taking care of the foods, but also looking at the environment that sustains those foods. And so I think that's why it's a great collaboration.
The water temperature, it's just increasing. 3 years ago, there was a real bad year for the water and the high temperatures. So some of the tributaries that some of the salmon would return back to, they would have little or no water. So they had nowhere to spawn.
Jones says if the salmon fail to return, his people, the Cayuse Umatilla, won't exist either. Pesticides, development, and food deserts also threaten traditional foods. Both Jones and Frank hope their efforts resonate with tribes region-wide, especially among the youth. Atop the Andrew Reasoner Wildlife Preserve near Eugene, a dozen people, mostly indigenous teens and children, are planting camas bulbs.
Nice. Beautiful.
Joe Scott is a Siletz tribal member who oversees the curriculum for Team Traditional Ecological Knowledge, or TTEC. The group has dug a camas oven on the site, which will be used to bake the camas bulbs. He says among the many challenges facing traditional indigenous foods is people losing the connection between past and present.
We are what we eat in more ways than just sort of that trite statement. We're made of the bones of our ancestors. These plants grow from the ground, and the ground holds our ancestors, and that cycle just continues as our people in the ground provide nutrients for the next generation of plants that sustains the next generation of people. And it's a cycle that continues on and on and on.
For Here and Now, I'm Brian Bull in Eugene, Oregon.